Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to Bangor Liberty Friends Church and the celebration service for Levi Willits. In a moment, Doug Woodward's going to get up and read the obituary, and David Willits will have a reading from Psalms. But first, would you please join me in prayer? Gracious Father, we gather here to remember a life complete and well-lived. And while we gather to remember Levi and comfort grieving family and friends, we pray your spirit would remain here with us, that all we say and do would bring honor and glory to your name. Amen.
My name is Doug Woodward. I'm Levi's grandson. I'm Nancy Woodward's oldest son. And I have the honor of reading the obituary for Grandpa Levi, a truly, truly great man. It's interesting, my mom shared with me his wishes, where he wrote out back in 2003 what he was envisioning for this day. And if you want to see this from my mom, you can share it. But just in part, he writes, "I'm still traditional, a regular funeral with flowers and visitation. Open casket is fine, just letting you know my feelings. I like the statement. Life has been good and is still good to me." Indeed true, he had to revise his obituary, handwritten by him in 2009, and as he's outlived many, if not all in his generation, a few more revisions have taken place to what we now see in our program today. Levi Malin Willits was born in Bangor Township, Marshall County, Iowa, the only son of Louisa Upton and Earl Vining Willits, on September 23, 1922, joining three sisters, Ruth, Rosella, and Mary. He attended Bangor School through eighth grade and graduated from Union High School in 1939. Levi completed 3 years at Iowa State College and then enlisted in the United States Army Air Corps. After a short time of service, he returned to the family farm after his father's death, where he resided for the majority of his life. Levi was united in marriage to Anna Lee Martin on June 18, 1944. They had four children, Earl Martin, Nancy Carroll, Ray Eugene, and Donald Lee. He exemplified a life of Christian service. Levi was an active, lifelong member of the Bangor Liberty Friends Church, serving as clerk of Bangor Monthly Meeting, clerk of Iowa Yearly Meeting, and a trustee of Friends United Meeting. He was a trustee of the Board of Directors at William Penn College. Levi served as trustee of the Quakerdale Boys and Girls Home for 21 years. He was secretary of the Bangor Friends Cemetery Association for 51 years. Levi served on the Bangor School Board, the Union Witten School Board, and was a Bangor Township trustee. He was a member and leader in 4-H clubs. Levi was an early pioneer in no-till farming and was a member of the Marshall County Soil Conservation. Levi married Ramona Lee Kaufman in 1990 after the death of Anna Lee, his wife of 45 years. They volunteered for Heifer Project International, Habitat for Humanity, and the Church of the Brethren Service Center. Levi and Ramona were representatives of volunteers of Overseas Cooperation Assistance in El Salvador. They were volunteer park hosts for many years at state parks across the United States. Levi and Ramona spent winters in Tucson, Arizona, where they were active in their retirement community. His family will remember him for his generosity, his strong Christian service, and, yes, his love of a good party. He welcomed all who would gather for any occasion. He was looking forward to family and friends gathering to celebrate his 97th birthday. Now we gather together to remember him and have thankful hearts for a life well lived. Levi is survived by his wife Ramona, daughter-in-law Martha Willits, daughter Nancy and Ron Woodward, son Ray and Don Lynn, 8 grandchildren, and 13 great-grandchildren survive him and have many, many wonderful memories of Grandpa and Great-Grandpa Levi. An infant sister, Lydia, his parents, his first wife, Anna Lee, his son, Earl, sisters Gertrude Hall, Ruth Hitch, Rosella Lane, and Mary Wantese preceded Levi in death.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share, as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, and he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy he shares as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Hello, I'm David Willits, Ray's youngest son, and my wife and I recently moved back to the Bangor area. I'll be reading Psalm 100 out of the New International Version. It says, a psalm for giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, his sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
I'd like to have you all take your hymnals and turn to page 514. Levi told me years ago that he wanted this song sang at his funeral. So we're going to sing it, and let's sing it good and loud this morning.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Thank you.
This is a time when we open it up for family to share with everyone. You can come up here and use the mic if you'd like. If you find yourself trapped in your pew and can't get away, we'll bring a mic to you, okay?
I'm Nancy Willits Woodward. I'm Levi's daughter. I think I can get through this, but we'll see. My family says that since I was only daughter, I was spoiled. I think that was probably true, maybe until Don came along. But thank you all for coming to Dad's service and those who came to visitation last night. It's been a blessing to our family. As Doug said, he was ready for death. He had planned his service starting many years ago and then revised it several times. And so this is what he wanted. One of the things that was really important to him was family, not only our immediate family, but extended family. And his wish was that all eight of his grandchildren would be the pallbearers. And it's such a blessing that all eight of you are here. And I think that's a testimony to how much they admired and loved their grandfather, too. And my dad was a huge encouragement to me through all my life. He believed in me in so many things, academics, sports, my job, my career. And whenever I would say to him, well, our family's going to move to Kenya, we're going to move to Kuala Lumpur, we're going to move to Rome, he would send me a letter of blessing. He would write out and say, I bless you. And he never he gave me wings. And I'm so thankful for that. And last year, my husband's been ill. And even 10 days ago, my dad was still calling me every day. He would say, how's Ron? Tell Ron hi. He was so concerned for my husband and for me. And I'm grateful that all my dad did for me and for our family. And I'll miss him a lot. And even though he was 97 and certainly ready to go, I still feel a hole in my heart.
I'll be next. I'm Julie Kaufman. I'm Levi's niece. My mom and his first wife were sisters. And Uncle Levi was just a blessing in my life. This day is, I just really wanted to be here today. excuse me, to share it with my family. I don't think I had very many birthdays that I didn't get a card from Uncle Levi. Sometimes my kids or my husband might forget, but he would remember. I always looked forward to his, and he, not just a card, he usually wrote something too. And Uncle Levi was very, he had a place in my heart where, this, just being in this church, I kind of grew up going to visit my cousins and playing on the farm, picking peas and shelling, remember shelling peas on the deck, on the old house there, and I think I first came to know the Lord here in this church. And I see some of the women that were my Sunday school teachers here. Thank you. And he just had touched so many lives, not just mine, but so many others. He really was a great man. And like Nancy said, I'm going to miss him. He was 97. We were blessed with him for 97 years. And he touched a lot of lives in that time, including mine and all of you here. And I guess I thought about this verse on the way over here. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today, I think about how hard it is to say goodbye. We lost our dad just a few years ago. And you don't stop missing your loved ones. You know, you all, anybody who's lost someone knows you don't stop missing them. But I also think about the ones that are already there. And like we say goodbye and they're saying hello. And so we'll see them again. I really believe that from the bottom of my heart. And I'm just so grateful to my entire family and to Uncle Levi for sharing such a good life with us and being such a good example for us. And we will see him again.
That's right, you got the three stooges here. Levi was part of our lives for almost 30 years. He married our mother, Ramona, and took very good care of her. They did things that our paternal father probably would never have done, and she did things and went places that she never would have gone. And he was a very kind and interesting man, from talking about Cyclone, Hawkeye rivalries. Of course, we all know he was Cyclone. We were kind of more Hawkeye-driven in our area, but we didn't hold that against him. And we played a lot of games of euchre and cribbage and just had a genuinely good time with Levi, and we really appreciate getting to know him and never would have if he had not married our mother.
Yes, and I want to second that he took very good care of our mother and much better care of her than our biological father did. So we learned a lot of good messages from Levi, and we're so happy and fortunate that we got to share a few years of his life.
One of the things I'd like to say is he was a grandpa to many people here in the church, and he's a grandpa to all our kids. And that was really nice. You know, you don't always get, you know, get some of that love that you just can't buy in a store, you know. And it was just, he did it right. You know, if we could all do what he did, the world would be a better place.
Amen.
I'm Emily Willits. I'm one of Levi's 8 grandchildren. My grandpa was so incredibly generous, and I think that probably nobody benefited more from his generosity than his grandchildren. As when we were kids, he had a way of making each of us feel special, and that certainly continued into adulthood. When he would come to visit me and my sister in Des Moines, he would often come bearing gifts. As the only granddaughter who was willing to wear a dress, I usually got something pretty and lacy from him, which I loved. When we would come up and visit the farm, he would take us on tubing trips down into Honey Creek, and he would have these giant inner tubes made from tractor tires, and we would go tubing. Then we would go back to the farm, and my grandmother would make an elaborate dinner, and my grandfather would say grace, and he would comment on how glad it made him to have all of the feet under the table of the people that he loved. After dinner, he would make homemade ice cream in the ice cream maker. Maybe he would take us on a tractor ride. And those visits to the farm felt so magical to me as a kid, and I think that that is because he made them feel so magical. All of us learned some of the most important values in our lives from our Grandpa Levi. He taught us about the importance of family, faith, community, hard work, a good education, and instilled in us a love of travel and seeing the world. And I think in Ramona, he met his perfect travel companion. He set a goal of attending each one of his grandchildren's graduations from high school, college, graduate school, and I think he did it all over the world. I mean, he traveled to more states and countries than probably we could count to watch us graduate. Now he has 13 great-grandchildren, and I think that it's such a wonderful legacy that we're able to pass those same values that we learned from our Grandpa Levi onto our own children. And his eldest grandchild is back here from his first semester in college today, and I think what a wonderful way to pass on that love of education and travel. So thank you all for being here. We were so blessed to have my grandpa in our lives.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ann Watley. I am Emily's sister and another one of Levi's grandchildren. And I would just echo everything that she said. I have so many fond memories of growing up on that farm with all my cousins. It was, as Emily mentioned, thank you. Tasha and I did not wear dresses. We were very much the tomboys, but I am wearing one today, so I've changed a little bit. So it was kind of Doug and Mark and I, and then like all the girls hung out, and then along these three came, and we just all had a blast. Like, well, we'll share stories that Emily shared. But I just wanted to share one that has to do with Ramona and my grandpa that happened much more recently. And it was when Brian and I had our two children who are now here. They're here. Allison, she's 15, and Nick, he's 14. And we were in the hospital, you know, for 2 days with each of them. And the day we got out, we would pull in our houses driveway and their car would be there, and I was of course sore and tired and everything. We're here to see the baby and take care of it while you rest. And so I would be like, well, okay, I don't know what to, I can't say no. And it was so sweet of them to do that for me. But the funny thing is I would go off and I don't know, take a bath or do something upstairs while I come back down. And the two of them, Levi and Ramona, and whichever baby it was, it happened with both of them, they're only a year apart, would all three be sound asleep on the couch, just sound asleep. And, you know, one of them would look like the baby's about to fall out of their arms. And so I'm like, I have pictures somewhere, but I couldn't find them in order for this. But I'd be like, Brian, do you think this is safe? And I'm like, I think we should try to get the baby extricated without waking them up. And, you know, we would wake them up, and with his grandpa, I'll give me my baby back, you know. So, it was so sweet of them to do that, and I will cherish that forever. And they would stay all day and just help us cook and things because they knew that we wanted help that first day. So thank you, Ramona, for doing that. And thank you, Grandpa, too, and I will miss you dearly.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tasha Woodward, so I'm the last of the granddaughters. Yeah, just thank you for coming and remembering Grandpa. I'm privileged to be one of his granddaughters, and I think, I won't talk long because I don't like talking in front of a lot of people, but I think one of the things that I'm going to just miss most is just his love of people and the ways that he welcomed everybody and anybody. And if I had friends, he would just, he didn't care where they came from or who they were, he just would love on them. And also his generosity. I know that birthday cards, they always came with money in them. And when I visited him, wherever he was, he would always pay for everything. He wouldn't let me pay for anything, and just not only generosity with his money, but I think just generosity with his heart and the ways that he just loved on his family and his friends. And I think I noticed how that has carried down to the generations, and my mom is incredibly generous. My brothers and my cousins, I think we stayed at my cousin David's house, and he's just like, yeah, just come and stay here. And I think it comes a lot from Grandpa Levi. So, yeah, I'm going to miss you, Grandpa.
I'm Joyce Buxton. My mother was Margaret Martin Randall. So Uncle Levi was my uncle. And what I've heard from so many people today is what a role model he was. And so very true. And I think where he got his strength was through Christ, who was the ultimate role model. And I have lovely memories of the farm. But like Julie said, I have so many lovely memories right here. And I, too, came to faith through this church, through the legacy of so many people, that Uncle Levi being one of them, who laid the foundation for my faith. And I just think what a blessing it is as I return back. I'm going to hear that song, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There." What an assurance to know that we will, in fact, see Uncle Levi again, that he's already reunited with Anna Lee, with my parents, with his parents, with Anna Lee's parents. And that is what he would want for everyone in this room. And I also just was so struck by the fact that this is so appropriate at the front of this church, that Jesus is knocking at the door. And if you don't know him, what a better way to honor Levi's legacy to each of us, that although he's a father and a grandfather to so many in this room, we come to the Lord. The Lord doesn't have grandchildren. He has children. And I cannot not take the opportunity to just point you to the door that can only be opened from the inside. And as I return home, I too will be celebrating that song of "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I Will Be There." And what an assurance and gift he offers to each of us to point us to Jesus.
I'm Doug. As I mentioned, Levi's grandchild, and I wanted to share a couple short stories that kind of exemplify how much Grandpa meant to me. It's hard to think of anyone maybe that I know on this planet that is more generous than Grandpa Levi, and I can see a direct line from his generosity to my mom and dad, to me as a child, to the education I have, to where my family is, that I can't imagine without the things that Grandpa has done for our family. And I feel so blessed by that. And I'm reminded that, you know, God loves a generous giver. And I see Grandpa's picture next to that verse as exemplifying that. And I'm just so blessed to know that he is finally receiving the abundance of that generosity as he is in heaven, receiving the glory of God's love that is so abundant. His sense of adventure and his sense of travel is another thing that blew me away. When I first got my first job overseas in Peru, he was the first one to visit me. And he and Ramona came down and visited, and he couldn't get over the fact, as we were at Machu Picchu and climbed up to Huanu Picchu, that he, three times my age, age 72, and I was only 24, could make that climb and that sense of adventure. And truly enough, he was there. And when I got my job in Jordan, he and Ramona were the first to come visit me. And they made their way to come visit us in the Middle East. And when I and my parents had got a job in Malaysia, guess who were the first to come and visit? That sense of adventure. And truly, he is on that journey that all of us are, with that final destination of the role of the role in heaven is being called right there. And Levi, Grandpa, is saying, "Amen, I'm here." And as Emily and as Anne have said, that generosity and that commitment to us. I had the privilege with my oldest son, Reeve, of coming just a few weeks, it seems, ago, and passing through as Reeve was looking at colleges, and Grandpa taking the time to stop and ask him to get to know Reeve and understand what sports he was interested in, what schools he was looking at, and what his story was, and just what a commitment example that is to me of being fully present and loving those in our midst. Thank you, Grandpa, for all you've done.
Well, I think you all know who I am, but I'm Ray. I'm the one that got stuck on the farm, thankfully. No regrets. Don't have much to say after all these grandchildren and cousins said good things about Dad, but I do very brief things. Number one, obviously Dad had a life well lived, and he had the love of two wonderful women. And Ramona, thank you for being a tremendous grandma to my kids. And don't forget to keep making mashed potatoes and gravy. Okay. Let's see. As everybody said, Dad was very generous. And one thing that he only told me once, in the 50s, when he was a young farmer with a young family, he took it on himself to pay the tuition for a young neighbor farm boy that wouldn't be able to go to college if he hadn't paid it. He was a teacher to me, you know, life lessons learned as a young boy. To this day, when I'm driving at night, and I do a lot of driving at night on a two-lane road, I remember what my dad said and taught me in his own way when I was probably 8 or 9. We're driving on a road in South Dakota. We're going to visit some friends or something, and he said, keep a distance between the car ahead of you, and then your line of sight, your line of sight or vision is doubled because you have your headlights and the headlights of the car ahead. And I think of that every time I drive on a two-lane road. Working with Dad, get those, you know, bifocals are a terrible thing sometimes. I learned to build fence, repair well pumps, which we don't do much anymore, but shingle roofs and paint barns. And this was the interesting part, while on a 32-foot extension ladder, 12 feet in the air in the loader bucket. I don't think that would have been OSHA approved. And of course, I learned to drive tractors and all the farm equipment. And again, he was very forgiving. If you made a mistake, he didn't just yell and harangue at you. You knew you made a mistake, but that was it. And he was very patient for not just me, but everybody that worked with him. And as has been alluded to in the obituary, and this is kind of my main point here, is 1942 and 43 were very significant years for Dad. While he was a junior at Iowa State College, he, like thousands of other young Americans, enlisted in the U.S. Army and other military. And while he was at the Army Air Corps basic training in St. Louis, he was summoned home because his dad had contracted leukemia. And when Grandpa Earl, who obviously none of us kids ever knew, when Earl kind of went into remission, Dad re-enlisted because he wanted to be a pilot in the Army Air Corps, and he was sent to St. Cloud, Minnesota. And then about 40 days later, his dad died, and they pulled him home to run the farm since he was the only son. And I never thought anything about it. You know, Dad never talked about his military experience. He felt that 80-some days in the military wasn't worth, trying to become a veteran or anything. But in 1983, and I didn't figure out the date like he did, one morning Dad and I had finished cattle chores, and we were walking to the shop, and he just stopped, and he said, you know, today I'm the same age as the day my dad died. And that was important to him, that 40 years previous, his dad had died at 61, and Dad was 61 point whatever. And, I never thought a thing about it, but that was really important to him. But what I'm most grateful for is an additional 49 years with my dad.
I just want to say thanks to Grandma Mona, because she was always Grandma. Anna Lee, Grandpa's first wife, died when I was 6. We buried her on my 7th birthday, but she came in and has been a grandma ever since. So Thank you.
Hi, I'm Marta. I am married to Mark, Levi's grandson. I just wanted to bring condolences from my family. You know, Levi was, as you all know, larger than life. And when I told my colleagues I was going to Iowa, they said, "What for?" And I said, I felt like saying, "Don't you know Levi's? Levi's gone." he had that presence about him, and my family certainly knew him, and so they've been writing, and they all really, even though they met him once or twice, he took up a lot of space in their minds, and so I just wanted to bring those condolences to you all. Thank you.
Well, I hadn't really thought about this. I'm Lynn Willits, so I'm married to Don, so I'm Levi's daughter-in-law. And all these precious people over here are my nieces and nephews. Doug talked about Levi's sense of adventure and the love of a party. Christmas of 1998 is when I met this clan for the first time. Levi paid for all of us to come to Arizona for Christmas. And there's a picture out on our board of everybody who was in the family at the time. And I flew out from Kansas City to Phoenix. I'd never met Levi, never met Ramona, never met any of these folks. And Levi was at the airport to greet me. He didn't know who he was looking for, but I'd seen a picture at Don's house. We'd been dating 3 months, something crazy like that. So I got to go for Christmas. And those were in the days where visitors could come to the gate and greet you at the gate. So I saw this really tall man. He probably had an Arizona cap on or maybe an Iowa State cap. And I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, "Are you Levi?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, I'm Lynn." And he enveloped me in this huge hug. And I knew I was with the right family at that moment. And I don't know, Ramona, if you remember this. We were in the pool one night out the hot tub, and Don and I had just barely been dating, weren't even engaged. And Ramona says to me, "Well, are you going to change your name to Willits?" Do you remember that? And I said, "Well, why?" She said, "Well, when you and Don get married." I said, "Nobody's asked me yet." And I'm proud now to be a Willits. Doug and Tracy weren't married yet. Mark and Marta were engaged, but you were not married yet either. So that Christmas, the next 6 months, all three of us got married in June and July and August, and then we were 2 weeks later. So we all three have been married for 20 years, and that's where I met dear Marta for the first time. We were roommates at that that family adventure. One more adventure. So Don, we got married in August of 99. January of 2000, Nancy and Ron, Don and I, and Levi hiked to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. I had never, ever done anything that physical in my whole life. And I thought, I'm not going to be able to keep up with Ron and Nancy, who are little rabbits when they hike. And Don said, "You don't have to keep up with them. Just keep up with your 79-year-old father-in-law," which we did. And I think Levi had a fantastic time because that's where his parents had honeymooned, down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon at Phantom Ranch. And it was a thrill for him to be able to do that. So the sense of adventure that I married into has been a delicious experience, and what a blessing for me to know some of the people here at Bangor that I've gotten to know and adopt all of the rest of you as my family, too.
All right. Excuse me. All right, we want to open it up for everyone, the people who grew up around here, not family, who are impacted by Levi. So if you don't want to come up here, just raise your hand and I'll bring your mic to you, okay?
Matt doesn't realize that I'm family, too. I feel like family because I spent time in Levi's home before he was ever married, in his parents' home. And Nancy makes me think so much of his mother, Louisa, as a child. And then as a teenager, when Levi and Annalee were just, hadn't been married too long, they had one little boy, I lived that summer in their home with them and got to help take care of Earl. And didn't realize when I left that they were going to have another one that next year, and that was Nancy. When we moved over west to here, Annalee and Levi were the very first ones that came to call on us and invite us to come to Bangor, because, of course, this had been my family home. My great-grandparents had lived up here on the farm that Levi farmed for many years. His father farmed, and then Levi did. In fact, they came to call on us when we were still moving in. I was up at Hampton with the two older boys bringing the last load back down in the car, and they wanted to be sure and get us invited over here to the church. And then there was a time, let's see, I think Don maybe was in college, and Levi had a bed or something he was wanting to get over to him, and we had a station wagon, and he thought maybe he could, maybe it was a mattress, that he could get it over there. And so he asked if he could use that. Annalee was horrified. She said that he would ask to borrow our station wagon. Well, I thought, my goodness, he would do the same thing for us any day. You know, that was just Levi. And they were a wonderful couple. The whole family meant a lot to me, to our family. My mother always felt so close to the Willetts family. And then, of course, Ramona, we've been friends since we were in probably high school. We're down at William Penn together. And so it was nice to welcome her back into the family and be a part of the family and a part of this church here. So many things. But Levi was always, as they have said, generous. I was never involved in a fundraiser and went to see Levi, but what he would generously give. He was a fine man and an example, and you can see it in his children and grandchildren.
I'm Wes Blanchard. We moved away 40 years ago. Before this was carpeted, you could slide under the pews Sunday night. It was a lot of fun, as long as you didn't hit one of them center rails. But I love a lot of things about Bangor. One is you don't actually have to be related to be family. And Steve McDonald and Dwight Johnson and I were sitting at a Quaker men's breakfast, and Levi came up with a pot of coffee and said, "You boys want coffee refills?" And the three of us turned around together and said, "No, it'll stun our growth." And he said, "Well, I'll just pour it on your heads because you all need stunning." But I thought about wearing a shirt and tie and everything else I had going on today. I thought, that's not going to work so well. But got a Quakerdale Foundation shirt, and I serve on that board because of the service that Levi had to that place for so many years. And just to many things that he served on, it was involved in, and taught us to do the same. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Ron Bryan, formerly General Superintendent of Iowa Yearly Meeting, formerly a pastor, formerly a farm boy. My first experience of Quakerdom was when I was a wannabe pastor, and somebody had put me up to writing a couple strongly worded letters to Iowa Yearly Meeting. and the brand new clerk of Iowa Yearly Meeting was Levi Willits. And he had the audacity to read both those letters out loud in the opening statement of what they called a plenary session back in those days. And it set the tone where we fought. And we debated. That's Quaker debate, right? For 3 days. I remember hiding under the pews most of the time because I didn't want anybody to know who wrote those letters. I tell you that because Levi was a leader. And I think that was near the beginning, if not the first year, he was the presiding clerk of Iowa Yearly Meeting. I went on to become a pastor and a superintendent and to teach at William Penn. But right now I'm serving as a presiding clerk for Fringe United Meeting of the World. Levi's ability to handle that meeting set the tone for me to be looking at for the last 45 years. And I've always appreciated Levi Willits as a leader. And I, whenever given the opportunity, remind folks, the young folks particularly, we need new leaders too. Who will step forward? Who will carry the banner? Levi was a tremendous example. Ramona, you're part of this because you fed me a lunch. Remember? Friends Committee on National Legislation, I was there for a meeting in Washington, D.C., William Penn House. I was starved. I was sick of eating weed and seeds. And she fixed me a chicken. Thank you.
I am Donna Parsons Williams. I grew up in Bangor Friends Church, and that probably started my service for God. You heard Frances, my twin sister, and I, and sometimes Pat Ream, sing from up in front many times. But I also want to share with you that Levi and I happen to be second cousins. And where Art and I did a lot of traveling after we retired from our occupations, and we would sometimes meet up with Levi. And as soon as he'd get back from Arizona, he'd check in to see if we were home too. And then we'd sit down and have a good game, whatever we wanted to do, but we'd share our fun. But I also want to tell you that as a kid who finished eighth grade, then he started to ride the same bus that Francis and I were on. And he was 5 years older than we were. And so he thought those twins were cute, but he loved to tease us. And he teased us unmercifully, constantly. And my mother finally chided me on, "Donna, you've got to take care of your dinner pail and not use it on Levi." But now I want to share with you that something more serious. We were visiting Earl in his hospital room at the moment that Levi came back from service. That's a moment I'll never forget. Because Levi had been kind of an imp when he was younger and loved to tease. But from then on, he took on the responsibility that was on his shoulders and didn't complain. And with Annalise's help, and then with Ramona's help, and both of them are dear friends, were dear friends of mine. He accomplished a lot. Francis and I and Levi served on the Board of Trustees together during 1 year. And at that time, we added up the service of the Green family, and they'd already given 100 years of service to William Penn. And that was back in the about 1987 or 88. But I think that even though he loved to tease, he had a good sense of humor, we can remember that a life well lived, when you kind of forget about the difficult times and you think about what can be done that's good, it really helps. So we challenge you to move ahead and follow your dreams.
Kenneth Cook, Levi and I served on the Quakertown Board for many years together. And it's going to be tough to follow his family, because Levi talked a lot about his family, about how close he was to him, how he liked to do things with him, how they were very, very important in his life. I feel I was very fortunate, and Quakertown was very fortunate to have a man of his caliber on our team. And on many occasions when we had an issue to discuss, we wanted to hear Levi's take on it and how he felt we should go. So I felt I learned a lot from Levi. And over the years, he was chairman for many years and did a great job in the leadership role. I look forward to seeing him in heaven.
My father, Dean Daniel, worked for Levi from around 1961 to 67. And my family, we were penniless, destitute, bedraggled. And my parents were 21 with five little children. And Levi saw something in my dad. I guess he saw that he could be a hard worker, loyal hard worker. And Dad enjoyed working for Levi very much. He enjoyed farm work, and he loved it a lot. Had the highest regard for Levi, and I know he missed farming when he got on at Fisher's and went to work in the factory. But like I said, he always held Levi in the highest regard, never had any complaints about him. He did complain occasionally to Mom about two young boys that were always in the way, named Ray and Don. But he did really enjoy working for Levi. Levi, even though you only got to serve for a very short time in the Army Air Corps, from an Air Force veteran, I salute you.
I'm John Wantes. Levi was my uncle. I'm the youngest son of Mary's family. And one of the things that I remember most about growing up was our grandmother, Willits, one of the big things that she emphasized in her life was to keep her family together. And as the youngest son, I too, like Nancy, was accused of being spoiled. But my grandmother would constantly involve us in the family up here. We were kind of the outsiders. We were city boys. So we didn't get a share in all of the agricultural educations that were going on outside of our family. So it was very important for Louisa to involve us in the family. And as you can see today, and as you've heard, I think that my grandmother's emphasis on family life was very much instilled in Levi, because Levi's family was the most important thing to him there was. Thank you.
I can remember Levi would ask me if I, right before graduation, high school, if I knew how to do a handshake. And he taught me how to do a good, real good handshake, and he was always there for me when I needed a hug or a shake. I thought that was kind of cool.
My name is Don Davis. I think most of you know me anyway, but I've known Levi my whole life, and he's been a great help to me. And any time I needed him for anything, he's always there to help. We went to a lot of Iowa State games together, sat over there and watched a lot of basketball. And I think because when Ray called me and said his dad had passed away and he wanted to sing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, and I know Levi's there when the roll's called.
My name is Bruce Martin. I'm another cousin. Second, once removed, I think. Third, okay. Anyway, and that's not the important part. The important part is knowing Levi as a Sunday school teacher, as a 4-H leader. Someone who always was watching out for you. You know, you never... Sometimes you didn't always see it, but you knew somewhere Levi was watching out. Get a call and say, need help baling hay today. Just come over whenever you can. We'll have something for you to do. So get over there. Yeah, first we need you to grind a couple loads of feed. Okay. There was always something. And another thing about Levi was how he would greet some people sometimes. Because, you know, you always got a hearty handshake. But it'd always be, Bruce, how are you? Or then it'd be, Maxie, be my wife. But the one thing a lot of you may not know is that Barb and I got to, well, Barb particularly, got to know Ramona pretty well one day because Levi and Barb both happened to be having surgery one day. And we didn't realize Levi was in having surgery until just before we went, or before Barb went in. And Barb ended up getting into recovery, and they were having trouble with this other guy. He didn't want to wake up. And Barb figured out what was going on. And she said, is that old guy over there? He said, yeah. He said, roll me over by him. Get me over next time. And she said, Levi, what? You got to wake up. He finally started coming around, but he wasn't sure he was going to wake up. But we're really grateful he did for all the years since then, all the time he's had with all of us. You never knew a time that Levi didn't care about you. You never did. Thank you, Levi.
Us little boys kept watching that clock the whole time, and it's so slow. And so that's my memory of this church. And I think Don Davis would kind of agree with me how that clock was so slow. And but it's a wonderful church, and Levi and Ann was so neat with my folks, and I'll never forget after church sometimes back in the old days there, we'd just go to each other's farm and have a beautiful dinner, and all us kids were out playing, and I'll never forget those fellowship days like we used to have.
My name is Matt Bishop. I'm the pastor here at Bangor Liberty Friends. And depending on what records you read, I'm either the 25th or the 26th pastor of Bangor Liberty that Levi Willits would have had to tolerate during his lifetime. And I want to think it's just a coincidence that he and Ramona moved to Williamsburg only a month after I started here. As far as I know, except for a short period of time when he was in the Army Air Corps, this was the church that he regularly attended until moving. That means he spent somewhere around 5,127 Sundays seated right where you are today. Can you imagine starting life and being told you were going to have to endure over 5,000 sermons and that each one was going to last at least 10 minutes longer than it should have? Over the last few years, each September, Ray would let us know when he'd been away to celebrate Levi's birthday. And I think each time he would add that Levi wasn't really looking forward to another one, but he was ready to move on. Paul expressed the same sentiment when he wrote to Timothy, saying, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Paul likens life to our individual races as Christians. You and I, each one of us is running a race. In the spring, I was going to a lot of track meets to watch my son, and I realized during that time there are three types of runners in every race. Some run because their friends ran, so running's a social event for them. Others ran because their parents or their siblings ran long before them, and they run because they're expected to run. The third group, though, they run because they want to win. They run when it hurts, when the weather isn't nice, when life is cruel. They run when their opponents on the track or in their life are bigger, stronger, and faster. But here's the thing. The ones who win, whether it's a crown that won't last or a crown that lasts forever, the ones who win are those who run with everything they have. And when they've finished, they know they've done everything they can and have nothing left to give. And like Levi, they can say, "I'm ready for what comes next." So what's next? When the evangelist Dwight Moody was lying on his bed, surrounded by family, he said, "Earth is receding, heaven is opening, God is calling." His son looked around and said, "Dad, you're dreaming." Moody said, "No, this is no dream. This is not bad. This is no valley. This is bliss." To his wife, he said, "Emma, don't cry. God is calling. This is my coronation day." A coronation day. The glorification of a faithful servant. It's interesting when you think about it, but Jesus, during his 3.5 years of ministry, preached many sermons. He preached about marriage, prayer, fasting, how we treat each other, immorality, excess, apathy, faithfulness. He preached about narrow paths that lead to hell, or narrow paths that lead to heaven, and wide boulevards that lead to hell. He preached about forgiveness and loving each other, But there is one sermon that Jesus never preached. He never preached a funeral sermon. In fact, the one funeral that he attended with Mary and Martha for their brother Lazarus, the message he shared that day was one that would brought life. That's the same type of message Levi would want me to give you today. A message of life. And granted, there's sadness today. But we're sad because of what we've lost. We're not sad for Levi. Levi says it's coronation day. There's no reason to be sad for Levi. Earlier, David shared Psalm 100 with us. And that's exactly the message that Levi would want you to hear and know every day of your life. Listen to it again. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs and know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That is a prayer of life and hope, eternal life found in the redemption that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Levi would want each of you to know that same redemption. He would want you to know and understand the same hope that he had for the future, that Jesus Christ died for him and for you and for me. And that because of that, Levi and we and us can spend eternity in the presence of God with those we love who have the same hope. So I pray that you would leave here today and think of Levi. But I also want you to remember Levi and the hope, the assurance that he had for the future. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, we are grateful, Lord, for the example of your servant Levi, for the life he lived, for the father, husband, grandfather, and friend that he was to so many. Don't let us lose sight, though, of the fact that everything we admire in Levi was a result of your work in his life. Help us to keep our focus on you and to put you first in our lives, that others might see you living through us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We got asked to do this. And if you guys want to join in, you're welcome to.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a man like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shine.
Take your hymnals now and turn to page 251, Jesus Loves Me. I think everybody here knows this one. Jesus.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Before we do the benediction, I want to remind you that the family would like you to come over to the cemetery for the interment, and then return here for a light lunch in the fellowship hall. Pray with me, please. Heavenly and gracious Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the time you chose to give us Levi before you called him home. We pray in the coming days that you'll continue to be with us, that we won't get lost in our grief, but remember Levi for the man that you made him to be, and that we would use his faithfulness as an example of the path that you call us to. Help us each to live lives of purpose and hope, to speak life into the lives of those around us, and that we would be faithful to you, the one who gives us each breath. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.